Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this evening. Again, what a blessing it is every opportunity we have to come to church. And it's something that we ought to look forward to. It's something that will strengthen us to be able to live the life that is pleasing to the Lord. And I think it's something that is an encouragement and something that the Lord would have us to do, as He tells us not to forsake that. So it's a blessing to be here tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 3. Luke in chapter 3 on Wednesday nights. Our Bible study is the life of John the Baptist. And we've been looking at and studying the entire events that God has revealed to us in the Scriptures concerning the life of John the Baptist. And the first thing that we look to in the life is what Jesus had to say about John. And He had much to say about the life of John the Baptist. And there's none greater born of woman than John the Baptist. And that's one of the things that Jesus presented. There's many other things we studied on that. And then we realized that it was actually John the Baptist that ushered in the New Testament church age. He was the first to start baptizing. And he brought in the baptism of repentance, preparing people to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And He taught them that His ministry and His baptism was just to prepare them for Christ, and that Christ's baptism was so much superior than His baptism, and following after Christ was so much better than following after John. And so it just to see how all that worked, and really in John's ministry, John actually did exactly what we are to do today, and that is to point people to Jesus Christ. Is just to try to help them to understand the truths concerning the Word of God, the truths concerning Jesus being the Messiah, and pointing people to Him. And so it's a blessing to have the life of John the Baptist to be able to study. Last week, John is coming to the end of his ministry here. Now, John was prepared for 30 years to serve a public ministry for anywhere between only 6 months to a year. But that 6 months or to a year was something that impacted humanity like few other things have ever impacted humanity. It prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a forerunner for Jesus Christ. And even Jesus Himself lived for 30 years preparing for a three-year or so public ministry. And so it's not about how many years that we live on this earth. It's about what we're doing with the time that we have on this earth and wanting to make sure that we are accomplishing all that God would have us to accomplish. And there's so much joy and there's so much blessing in knowing that we're doing that. Well, John had, knowing that he was coming to the end of his ministry, the thing that we've been on the last couple of weeks was this. John taught them after he pointed them to Jesus. Now Jesus on the scene, He's baptized Jesus Christ. As to fulfill all righteousness. And he pointed to Him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And then he said this, he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And how true that is in every one of our lives. When we first get people saved, no doubt you are the example that they look to for Christianity. And we ought to accept that role. And we ought to make sure that we are living and being the Christian that they can see Christ in. I mean, that's important for every parent and raising a child, for every Sunday school teacher that's got a Sunday school class, especially for every pastor that has a flock that God has sent there and established that New Testament church, every deacon, every officer, but every soul winner. The people, first of all, you will win them to you before you win them to Christ. Before they really care about what you have to say, they have to see something in you that they want. And so it's important to understand that. So it is very important that we have a testimony of true Christianity or true Christ-likeness. And during that time, our goal is to take those that are looking to us and prepare them to be dependent upon Jesus Christ. Every parent, every wise parent raises their children to one day leave the home. That means that they have to become less and less dependent upon you. Amen. And more dependent upon the one who can't sustain them for the rest of their lives, and that's God. Amen. And so we find here that's what He says, He must increase, but I must decrease. And so He had prepared His disciples, and we read a passage of Scripture last week where it talked about the disciples of John. coming together with the disciples of Christ now. And so his disciples were being prepared to be the disciples of Christ. He taught them to have a personal relationship with God, and he taught them how to pray and receive things from the Lord. You can't help anyone with anything any more important than communicating with God. Amen? And God has given us that tool of prayer. We taught in Sunday school this last week. That's the key. God has given to his church the key to the kingdom of heaven, the keys, and that is access to God. And what a blessing that was. Well, tonight now, the next event in the life of John the Baptist, and that's what we're doing, just going down through and teaching on the events of the life of John the Baptist. The next event is John's ministry is coming to an end, and John knew that he must decrease. And so at this time, John's going to be taken out of ministry, out of public ministry, and he's going to be put in jail. Now, even in jail, you're going to find that God had a purpose for that, and God's going to work through John's life even while he is in jail. But there's much that we can learn from this idea of Herod arresting and placing John the Baptist in prison. So the next event, Luke chapter 3, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read here verse 19 and 20. Luke chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, "But Herod, the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison." Let's pray and we'll get into the study. Father, we do love you and thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight and everyone that took advantage of that that's here this evening. And I just pray, God, for each one. You know what their needs are, and I pray that through the service that you would just speak to each one tonight as they have need to be spoken to and just draw each one closer to you. I pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word at this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. John is now shut up in prison. And as we look at this, in John's ministry, John faced many that opposed him. Most of those that would have opposed him, if we would study, and we've seen this, and as we read some of the other accounts of the life of John the Baptist, was the religious leaders. The religious leaders, the leaders of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the scribes, and the priests. Now, these are the same ones that would oppose Christ as well. And the same ones that would want to have Jesus Christ crucified because he was teaching something opposite than what they wanted to have taught. And so John came preaching the kingdom of heaven, preaching repentance, a change of mind. It's time to get back to understanding who God is. It's a time now to give an account of your thinking and your lifestyle and now get it lined up with the will of God. And he came preaching that, and then he was presenting to them what the will of God was. This New Testament church age coming in, Jesus Christ the Messiah is here. He's ushering in this new and living way concerning what was God's plan for even in the Old Testament, but it was just not time to introduce that to humanity until the fullness of time had come and God sent forth his son made of a woman. Amen. That's what the Bible says, a virgin-born son of God. And so now we find here that John is battling those that oppose him, the Pharisees, the leaders of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, the priests. He was overwhelmingly believed on and accepted by the multitudes of the common people. If you find, that's the ones that Jesus, that would receive Jesus as well. Those are the ones that would relate to the truths that God had for them. Those are the ones that wanted to receive that which God had for them and were willing to repent and willing to realize, I need to change my lifestyle, who understood that their lifestyle was not in alignment with God. Sinners, publicans, those in need. They would flock to Jesus, but they started by flocking to John. And these are the ones that overwhelmingly believed on and accepted John's preaching and his ministry. But we find here that there were some that opposed him. John, like Jesus, was no respecter of persons. He didn't have one message for the poor folk, and another message for the blue collar, and another message for the hierarchy. He didn't have a different way of presenting the truth to different people. He did not have a respect of persons and says, well, I'm not going to preach the same message to this group of people because, well, you know, I might offend them. No, he just said, if it's the word of God, everyone needs to hear the truth. Amen. No matter where you're at, amen, no matter what your age, no matter where you're at on life's ladder, if you will, if you're trying to climb the ladder of success, no matter where you're at on that, everyone on planet Earth needs to hear the truth. No respecter of persons. Herod and Herodias needed to hear the truth. Even though Herod had a position that John knew that could land him in jail. If he would offend any way Herod had the authority of the Roman government. He had the authority to put John in prison. He had the authority, if you would, to take John's head off. But only as God would allow it. But he did have that position. So John knew that. How could he not know that? And we find in verse 19, and Herod the Tetrarch being reproved by him, by John, being told you're a sinner. Being told what you've done with your brother Philip's wife is adultery. How you're living your life by stealing and accepting bribes because of your position, using your position to benefit you and not caring about the people. What he's saying, he reproved Herod. And he said, for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. John was not holding back. He was preaching the messages just as God wanted him to preach it. If Herod was there, if Herod wasn't there. Because they all need to hear the same things. Well, so Herod added one more evil to his list of things. That's what it says there. And added yet this above all. He shut up John in prison. So, first of all, as we look at this and say, all right, what are some of the practical applications? What are some of the biblical truths that we need to gain from this particular event in the life of John the Baptist? The first that we need to understand is it was the same truth that was accepted by the common man, that those who rejected it would not accept. It was not a different gospel. It was the same gospel preached because there's only one gospel. There's only one Bible. There's only one God. He has one truth. Amen. And so it wasn't something that the common man accepted and something different that those religious leaders or those prominent people in the world or those that have positions in the world, something that they would be able to have preached differently so that they could accept it. No, it wouldn't happen that way. It was the same truth. In this very same chapter, Luke chapter 3, look back over to the chapter 3, verse 7. It was accepted by the common person. The one that just didn't see themselves as being better than anyone else. And I trust not seeing themselves as being any lower than anyone else. Realizing that every man puts on his pants the same way as every other man. Amen. Take the clothes off. We're all the same. Amen. That's it. You know, it's some have a different opportunities of life that others don't have. Some are raised and born into wealthy homes. Some are born and raised in wealthy areas, wealthy countries, whatever it might be. But God is no respecter of persons. That's something we see here and taught in the scriptures, seen in the life of Jesus for sure, but especially here, even in the life of John the Baptist, who had been the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he came and he came preaching the word of God. In verse chapter 3 of Luke and verse 7, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Now he told them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to repent. And so he was telling it like it was. You're a generation of vipers. You're all sinners. Y'all deserve a devil's hell. Because that's the wages of sin is death. Separation from God, eternity in the devil's hell. And that's what he would tell Herod the same thing. Well, he was preaching that to them. And he says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. A change of mind that leads to a change of life. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. No, I'm a special person. I'm a Jew. I'm not lost. I'm not a slave. I'm a Jew. I'm the best of the best of the world. So he addresses that. And he says, say not, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? They received it. When you receive it, you realize, I do need to change my life. I do need to change my thinking and align it with an almighty creator God's thinking. Yeah. I do need to understand what God says about eternity and what a man has to do to be saved. That's what they were receiving that. And so after he preached the very same messages, we find that the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? All were willing to acknowledge their need to repent or to change their thinking concerning God and how God would have them to live their lives. Can I tell you that God has no expectations of a lost man and how they live their lives? But God has great expectations for those who call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, because then you represent him. You're his child. Ephesians in chapter 2, look there with me. Ephesians in chapter 2, we're just laying the foundation here and understanding this truth. Ephesians in chapter 2, very familiar chapter in the Bible. What a blessing it is to know exactly what the Bible says about how a person gets saved. But in chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before you get saved, you're dead to God and your trespasses and sins. If you're dead to God, he has no expectations of you. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who they were. That's how they lived their life. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Yeah. The one thing that God did for you, he loved you. Yeah. And he made a way for you to have forgiveness for your sins, to change your life, to be able to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and to live a life that is pleasing to God. Yeah. That's what he's done for us. And hath raised us up together, and even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together through Christ. That means made us alive to God through salvation in Christ, Jesus Christ. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what he's done for us. Praise the Lord for that. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We have so much to look forward to. But he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Don't think you can do it on your own. Don't think you can do it any other way, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we find here that the Bible says that all were willing to acknowledge their need to repent or to change. The common folk, they saw themselves as sinners, and through the messages that John spoke, they were receptive to those messages. And all John did was to preach the Bible, to preach the truth. Look over in John chapter 10. I want to show you something else that John did that was even different than what Jesus was able to do and what the apostles were able to do in the apostolic age. More of what we are doing today. See, John just preached. Do you know that John didn't show any signs or wonders? John did not heal anybody. John did not perform any miracles. Now, Jesus would come and he would perform miracles and he would show signs and wonders. After that, he even, during the transitional period of time, the apostolic age, the apostles that were following after Christ, Jesus established the church, who would carry on the church before the entire Word of God was completed, they did signs and wonders and performed miracles. John the Baptist did not show anything that was not of the natural. Look what it says in John chapter 10 and verse 41. Talking about Jesus, in verse 40 says, "And went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode." Jesus went there. "And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there." In this New Testament church age, now that we have the completion of the Word of God, there's no need of signs and wonders and man performing miracles. We have a miracle God, and God can still, and He does perform miracles. He can have miracle healings. He can have miracles, whatever He wants to do. God can move mountains on this earth if He wants to do that. We still serve a miracle-working God. But as far as the ministry that we have here, there is no need any longer for signs and wonders and outward miracles to impress the world that there is a God. Jesus has already done that. And when that which is fulfilled, when that which is complete, as the Bible is, that which is perfect is come, that which was in part shall be done away with. Jesus came. He was perfect. He left with us the perfect Word of God. And so the signs and wonders and the man-made miracles, they're all past because we have that which is perfect now. There's no need for that. We have the Word of God. John had the Word of God that he was preaching before the Word of God was written down, the New Testament, Word of God, promoting Jesus. So his ministry is much like our ministries today. And I don't think that's by coincidence. I believe that's to be able to look to him and say, it worked for John without signs and wonders and miracles. Well, what did John do? He just preached the Word. The key to it working was a common people coming together that are seeking after God. And not only was it the common people who were seeking after God, it was a speaker that was Spirit-filled preaching the Word of God. So you find, when you put that mixture together, when you have Spirit-filled seekers coming to learn more about God, and you have a Spirit-filled preacher who is preaching the Word of God, you have a very powerful service. Amen. That's what the church ought to be doing today. That's what believers ought to be doing today, coming to assembly like this tonight and on Sundays. And whenever we assemble ourselves together, we ought to have an auditorium filled with Spirit-filled seekers ready to receive a message from a Spirit-filled speaker, going to learn more about God. That's exactly what but we don't have that today as we ought to have that today, because we don't have as many that are seeking after the things of God. They're seeking after more entertainment. They're seeking after somebody to show me a sign, somebody to show me a wonder, somebody to show me a miracle. Don't you just get back to what God says He has for us, live by faith, and put your faith and trust in the Word of God and have a better understanding of it. Amen. Every time we assemble ourselves together, it's a time to get a better understanding of the Word of God. Yes, And I believe every spirit-filled seeker that comes into this auditorium to hear the Word of God preach is going to leave with something that's going to help them. Wow. So John's messages were powerful because you had this combination. John's messages were life-changing because you had this combination. The truths that he presented was unlike what most had ever heard. Can I tell you, there's quite a few people that come into this auditorium here that's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Never heard the Bible explained the way it just thus saith the Lord. They've been involved in some kind of formalistic, dead, so-called, thinking that's the way the church is supposed to be. And that's why people are out of so many churches, because they think if that's the power of God, I don't experience much of that. Well, if you're not around the truth, you're not going to receive something that's going to change your life. Right. Met people going door to door that tell me they've been in church their whole life. And, well, do you know for sure if your eyes were to close in death today that you go to heaven? Oh, I don't know that. You've been in church all your life? Yeah, they don't tell me that. I've never been told that. I witnessed to a retired priest one time. And he got tears. I said, do you know that? And he got tears in his eyes and said, that's not what the church teaches, but I would sure like that to be true. He blinded himself to the Word of God because that's not what his church taught him. Open your eyes, read the Bible, and understand that you can know. The Bible says you can know. He made sense. Can I tell you, the Word of God is practical. Amen. It makes sense. It is to be understood. Why we do what we do in this church ought to be able to make sense to everyone. Now, you might not agree with exactly why we do what we do, but there are reasons why we do what we do, and they're all biblically based. And even if you might not agree with exactly what we do, you ought to be able to understand why we do it. They believed and they repented. What a blessing. But not everyone accepted John's preaching. There's been people leave this church because they don't want to accept the preaching that they receive from this church. I think it's foolish to have standards and convictions. I think it's foolish to have a bus ministry. We've had many people leave this church because of our bus ministry, which is sad. We've had people leave this church for every kind of reason you can imagine. I mean, you go back over 30 years and that's happened. Not everyone accepted John's preaching. Those who did not were those not willing to change their way of life. The religious leaders, first of all, they didn't. By this time, they were settled in with how they wanted to worship God. And even when God Himself came to this earth and tried to help them to understand the truths that they claimed to accept, the Old Testament, they rejected Jesus Christ and crucified Him. Some will not even let God change their way of thinking. There's been many that I've talked to and said, let me show you what the Bible says. I understand what you're saying, and I know that you understand what I'm saying, but let's get into the Bible, God's Word, and see what it says. No, I don't care about getting into the Bible. I don't want to. You'll make it say what you want to say. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe. I know how I want to worship, how I want to live, what I want to do. They won't even let God help them. They're not open to, my thinking could be wrong. Those that did not accept John's preaching were those not willing to change their way of life. The religious leaders. And now we get to the main one that we've got the story of that we study here in the event of John the Baptist, and that is Herod. Herod represents all those who are settled in with living with whatever sins they have justified in their own life. You know, some of those people are coming to this church because they enjoy certain messages. And they enjoy somebody that's energetic enough to get up and preach. Amen. They enjoy hearing a message that is applicable to today's lifestyle. And so they might come because they enjoy that, but then when it comes time to hear a message that's going to address their sins that they have already justified in their minds, they close off. Either get up and walk out and say, well, I'll come back when he's preaching on something else. Or just, you know, sit there and shake their head and bow their head. Nah, nah, nah. They don't want, not willing. Look in Mark chapter 6, because this is Herod's account of John's imprisonment. Mark chapter 6. Herod's account of Mark's imprisonment. I mean, of John's imprisonment. And this is how he would live the rest of his life before he would die and go to a devil's hell. He was under conviction over what he had done with imprisoning John, and then later on, and we'll study this as he has him beheaded. When Jesus started his fame, then Herod thought that it was Jesus John had been resurrected. He's living with this conviction, he's living with this fear, and he would for the rest of his life, and then he would die and go to devil's hell because it was a real fear, what he had done. But this is his account of what took place, Mark chapter 6 and verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. That woman's hard to live with. I had to do it for her. I could block it out. She couldn't block it out. She heard him tell me that I was an adulterer and she was an adulterer and she wouldn't let it go. Can't tell you how many families have left because of the wife. Or the husband says, no, I think it's what we need to have. And I... how sad that is. But we find here, Herodias, the very same way. I mean, the very same reason that Herod had John. And I guarantee you, if they had enough authority, they have a position, they would have me in jail. They'd shoot the messenger. Amen? So we find here that it says, because of Herodias's had laid hold upon him and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. He told him, you're an adulterer, and she's an adulteress. You're never going to have the blessings of God until you come to that realization and ask God's forgiveness and cleansing. What he would do with that, I don't know. How he would lead them, I don't know. But it's sin, and you first of all have to acknowledge sin. And he didn't care about who he was. He would have told anybody that because he's no respecter of persons. John was not. It was the truth from the Word of God. It's a truth for everybody. For John had said unto Herod, I love that. It reveals, he said, right to Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him. More so than Herod, but Herodias had a quarrel against him. And would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod, look right here, feared John. Herod, actually, that's a reverential fear of John. Knowing that he was a just man and a holy. And he observed him. That's powerful right there. He knew that what he was saying was true. He knew it was coming right from the Word of God. He knew that he was not just preaching what he thought to be the Word of God. He preached exactly what God told him to preach. But go on, he says, he observed him, and when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Heard him gladly. Herod respected John for who he was, and in the past had heard him gladly. He had enjoyed John's messages. He had enjoyed John's powerful preaching. He had enjoyed John's energetic. I mean, John was a preacher. There's no doubt about that. He enjoyed his energy. He enjoyed the applicable messages that John was giving until it addressed his sin. Sin that he was not willing to repent of. Those that are not willing to repent, not willing to change their mind, will not accept God's preaching. So Herod gets upset because his wife's mainly upset and uses his position to send John a warning. Go arrest him, put him in jail, let him know that we have the power to shut you up. We have the power to keep you from preaching anymore. I have a position. If you keep preaching on my sin, you're not going to be able to preach anywhere any longer. Arrested him. I don't think he was looking to kill him. I know he wasn't, because in Mark 6:26, he says this, and the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And we'll get to that when she works it out, this satanic woman here and her satanic way of raising her own daughter, and gets to Herod to make him, trick him into making a vow, and now he's going to have John's head cut off. He didn't want to. That was not the intent. He arrested him thinking that he would just use his power to get control of John and determine what he was and what he was not going to be able to preach. There was a pastor in Kentucky several years back, but he gave a testimony about this, and he said that he had been preaching against smoking, against standards. And the smoking was the main issue because some of his members grew tobacco. And some of his members had been used to, in between Sunday school and church, taking a smoking break. And so this pastor in there, wanting to preach the Word of God and realizing to help the people, this is something that you know is going to cause cancer. This is something that is not a good testimony. That is something that is not going to help you in your witness for Christ. And he stood before the congregation and he preached the word. Well, the people the very next Sunday got together, the main group of the church, and they all withheld their tithe. And after that Sunday, they sent him a letter letting him know that until he addressed the church and told them that he would no longer preach on that, they would not be given their tithe to the church. Can you imagine that? And yet, we have people do that, maybe not that drastic. Well, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to, because I don't agree with his preaching against my sin. When a person is unwilling to change their way of life, and to consider what the Bible says, they'll reject the preaching. Teens. And our teens are at camp this week. As long as it's not affecting what they want to do, and the youth department can offer a lot of activities and offer a lot of things that are fun, but when the youth department starts putting restrictions and they start determining what they can and can't do, and they hinder them by telling them that they can't have relations with other teens and they can't hold hands and they can't dress immodestly, they'll do whatever they can to get the parents away from that biblical preaching. And over the years, we've had many a family led away because of their teens not wanting to adhere to biblical standards. The best thing for them to understand that God has a standard by which He wants them to be raised. God has a standard by how He wants them to live their lives. And so Herod does something, probably his worst sin yet, the Bible says. And we're getting ready to close here. But the Bible says, and added yet this above all. This was more wicked. This was more wicked than adultery, marrying his brother's wife. This is more wicked than being dishonest and accepting bribes and using his position. This is what the Bible says about it. Added yet this above all, that he shut up John. He hindered the biblical preaching of God's servant. Wow. Wow. Satan eventually would not only get him to hinder the preaching, Satan would lead him to eventually killing John the Baptist. But only as God allowed it. That's the next event in the life of John the Baptist. He was going to preach because that's what God called him to do. He was not going to be any respecter of persons. He was not going to have a different message. Amen. He was just going to stand up and preach what the people needed. And the preaching was powerful because you had spirit-filled seekers, amen, wanting to hear the truth and willing to realize there's some things that I might need to change my thinking. I might need to change my lifestyle. I have to change my way of thinking if my way of thinking goes opposite the Word of God. And when you have a people that come together, spirit-filled seekers, with a spirit-filled speaker, amen, preaching the Word of God, you have what I believe we have in this church here every service. And it's a blessing to be able to come out, to just sense the presence of God, and let God speak to us. Let's continue to be open to whatever God has, to make whatever changes that would be best for our lives when it comes to God's will. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. John the Baptist, a great picture, more so, of this New Testament church than that of the apostolic age. He knew that he must decrease so that Christ would increase. And I trust that every spirit-filled person would be that same way. Help people to look to what God says. Help people to look to Him and be dependent upon His Word. We're not going to have a musical invitation tonight. Very seldom do we on Wednesday night. There's an invitation right now. God spoke to you tonight. There's a need for you to make a decision, something you need to pray about, something you need to commit to the Lord. Invitation right now, just step out, come to the altar. If you need somebody to pray with you, there'll be somebody here to help you. Wednesday nights, Bible study. Strengthen us. I trust that you've been able to get help by that. Example of John the Baptist. God allowed him to be placed in prison, and God will eventually allow him to be beheaded. But not until after he served his purpose and accomplished what God had him here on this earth to accomplish. John's in glory tonight, rejoicing over being able to fulfill God's will for his life. We have much to learn and much to rejoice over the life of John the Baptist yet to come. Anyone else needs to come? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to help us to glean from the life of John the Baptist and possibly even tonight be able to learn what we've learned and make some biblical applications to our own lives. Never be so closed-minded that we will not even let God, the Bible, change our way of thinking. Help us to be willing to look to you. I pray that you just watch over us now as we get ready to leave. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.